The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with the first verse. And a portion of this is also the sermon text for this morning. Here the Lord Jesus reminds us that as he sent out those 72 to preach that gospel message throughout the world, so we too have been commissioned to do the very same thing. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours from him who is and who was and who is to come. Amen. The text that I'd like to consider with you this morning is a portion of that gospel lesson from Luke chapter 10, which was read for you just a few moments ago. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has sent us forth to be his witnesses in this sin-sick world, dear fellow redeemed. Way back in 1972, when I graduated from Northwestern College, which no longer exists but was the pastoral training college of our synod at that time, this was the text which was used for our graduation sermon by President Carlton Toppy. And he chose this text because he felt it had special significance for our class, because there were 72 of us in my graduating class at Northwestern College that year who were now moving on to their final 4 years of training at our Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. Luke is the only one of the gospel writers who records the fact that Jesus chose and commissioned 72 disciples in addition to the 12 apostles to go out before him and proclaim his word. You see, when Jesus looked out over the fields of Judea, he saw a harvest of souls, fields that were ripe for the picking. And that is why he told his harvesters, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I'm sure that when our Lord Jesus Christ looks down from heaven at the United States of America, and not only the United States, but our entire world, he still sees fields that are ripe for harvest. A vast potential harvest of souls that is out there. Think about our own communities here. How many people are lying in hospital beds and nursing home beds today and are teetering on the very precipice of life? How many people out on our highways today are going to die in automobile accidents? Will one of us perhaps lose a loved one very suddenly in the near future? Those can be very sobering thoughts, especially when we remember what happens right at the moment of death. God tells us very plainly in Scripture, man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. To face the grim reaper without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior can be a very terrifying thing. Because to face your Maker without Jesus leads to death forever in hell. You don't get a second chance. And so I hope you see what I mean when I say, in the words of Jesus, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And that is why Jesus tells each and every one of us as his believers today that we have the privilege of getting out there and witnessing about him to other people, of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in this sin-sick world. But now, how do you and I go about that task? How should we carry out that mission that the Savior has given to us? That's a very valid question. And the good news is, when Jesus gives us a job to do, he also tells us how we should do that job. Listen to the words of Jesus in our text. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Think of that picture. Lambs among wolves. It's not a really pleasant picture, is it? He doesn't paint a rosy pie-in-the-sky picture of mission work. He doesn't say, when you go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to have one miraculous result after another, and people are simply going to flock to hear you. No, he says, you're going out like lambs among wolves. Because sharing the gospel message of Christ can be hard. There are a lot of people who, when they hear that gospel message that you and I have to bring, are going to scoff at it. They're going to laugh at it because they think it is absolute foolishness. And there are others who find his message a stumbling block. And there are still other people to whom we will share that message, or with whom we will share that message, who are simply going to shrug their shoulders and they're going to throw it away and they're going to show complete indifference to that gospel message. They never quite get around to the time where they're going to sit down and really pay attention to that gospel message and that word of God and listen to what God has to say to them. And Jesus knows this. And he also knows that because of that, you and I are going to be tempted in our sinful flesh to try and concoct all sorts of ways in which we can trick people into hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can get their attention and make them and perhaps even force them to listen to us. And then that way bring them into the church. But Jesus isn't interested in religious tomfoolery. He wants us to get down to the brass tacks, to the very basic message of Scripture, the message of sin and grace, sin and God's undeserved love for sinful mankind. Listen to what he tells those 72 harvesters. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. What Jesus is basically saying to us here is that if this gospel message is being received in a home that we go to, then Jesus says, stay in that house. Continue to share that gospel message with those people. In other words, Jesus doesn't want his messengers to be popping around from one house after another like a bunch of religious gadflies. He wasn't overly concerned that this group of 72 disciples who were going out should stack up huge, impressive conversion numbers. No, rather, he wanted his harvest to be a thorough harvest. He wanted his men, as they were going out to preach that message, to stay where they were being welcomed and to share that gospel message, to help nourish and build up the faith of those newfound believers. Let me share a conversation which I had with you with Pastor Kirschbaum this past week when he called to let me know that he was going to be declining the call here to Trinity. He said to me, brother, he said, if you had asked me on Saturday, last Saturday, a week ago, whether I was going to accept this call, he said, I probably would have told you yes. He said, that's how convinced I was that I could indeed be carrying out God's mission by going to Woodbridge, Virginia to serve God's people. He said, and then I went to church on Sunday, and after church, there were a group of 15 new believers who had been welcomed into the church in the past year, young millennials. And of course, we have been striving to work with young millennials to get them involved in the life and work of the church. He said, 15 of these young people were sitting around at a table, and they looked at me and they said, Pastor, we're new to the faith. What can we do now to get more involved in the life and work of the church? And he said, Brother, that was when I realized I can't leave these people right now, because these are babes in the faith. And I have the responsibility of staying with them to help nourish and strengthen that faith which they have and get them involved in the life and work of God's kingdom. I said, Brother, I never argue with the Holy Spirit on the decision he leads people to make, but I think you've made the correct decision with his guidance. And then he declined that call. Now, that doesn't make us happy, right? Because you want a full-time pastor once again. But you need to realize there are lots of factors which go into these decision-making processes in making a decision on a divine call. And it is God, the Holy Spirit, who leads the men to make the decision which they make. And God has the correct man in store for Trinity Lutheran Church. It's just a matter of biding on God's time till we find that man. What were these 72 missionaries that were being sent out by Jesus to do? What if people didn't listen to the word, the gospel message that they were sharing with them? What if the people to whom they went rejected that gospel message? Well, when Jesus gives us a job to do, he also tells us by whose power we are doing that work. Listen to the final statement that Jesus made to those 72 chosen messengers. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Yes, Jesus was sending out these 72 with a big job to do. And he sends us out with a big job to do as well in the year 2019. But don't make it bigger and make it more impossible than it already is. You see, Jesus never asked you and me as his witnesses to go out and to convert anyone to the Christian faith. He hasn't asked us to do that for a single person because he knows you and I cannot bring about that conversion. That is something which is worked through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through that word that we present to those people. Jesus doesn't expect you and me to go out and to read hearts or minds because you and I can't do that. Jesus doesn't expect us to go out and be absolutely perfect and polished in our law gospel presentations to these people because you and I cannot be perfect and polished because we're sinful individuals. And Jesus doesn't expect us to know our Bibles from cover to cover perfectly because we can't. But we are to go forth and to carry God's message out into this world with untiring zeal and enthusiasm. And if and when a door gets slammed in our face, we don't need to take it personally because they're not rejecting us. They are rejecting Christ and the message of salvation through Christ. And if we happen to go to a house and we are received warmly and we have the opportunity to share the gospel with these people and they say, I'll see you in church next Sunday, but that next Sunday never seems to come, that's not because you and I have failed. That's because the devil has taken that seed of the word and he's cast all sorts of diversions and other tactics into these people's paths so that they have followed other things instead of following God's will and way. We don't give up on them. We continue to work with them. And we leave the results to God. You see, God hasn't asked you and me to convert anyone. The Holy Spirit will do that. He simply asks us to show untiring zeal in getting that gospel message out into this sin-sick world. And he will bring about the harvest. But he says to us, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And how sad that is. You know, when missionaries go out and they return from their field of service, they often are busting with all sorts of exciting stories to tell. I am sure that when these 72, and you can hear Luke describe it here in the gospel lesson, when those 72 returned from their missionary trip, they were ecstatic over what had happened. You can almost imagine them all talking at the same time like a bunch of preschoolers who have just gone and toured the local fire station and want to share the good news of what they saw with everyone. The 72 had seen wonderful things. They had even seen demons submit to them, and not to them, but to the gospel message they were presenting. And they weren't used to wielding that kind of power. And Jesus was filled with joy as well because of what the Holy Spirit had brought about through their missionary activities. And he saw the excitement and the joy which those 72 missionaries felt. And so also it brings joy to Jesus' hearts when he sees our lives become enriched because we have become involved in living the life of a missionary in our daily lives, right where we are. And there are many exciting stories you and I can tell as well about how we have seen the gospel take root in people's lives. Maybe it's a coworker that you have shared that gospel with at work, and you have all of a sudden seen a change in their demeanor. You've seen a joy and a peace which they didn't have before because now they know about their Savior from sin. We see as God continues to use the resources which we commit in order to do his work in sharing that gospel message in extraordinary ways. For example, as we train pastors, teachers, and staff ministers to go out in our name and to share that gospel message. And we have seen how our resources, our financial gifts, are used by our synod in order to expand in ever-widening circles that gospel outreach, the most recent of which, of course, is right there in Vietnam. What about your daily life as a witness for your Lord Jesus Christ? You know, a few years back, Ellen and I took a week-long Caribbean cruise with some neighbors of ours in Palm Coast. And those neighbors, Earl and Shirley, said that they would drive us down to Miami, and that's where we were taking the cruise from. And they picked us up at 5 a.m. on that Saturday morning, and we trudged down there with our two suitcases, and Earl opened up the trunk, and there were five suitcases that Earl and Shirley had, and we had to try to force our two in, and as a matter of fact, one of them ended up sitting between Shirley and Ellen for the ride down to Miami in the back seat because we couldn't get it into the trunk. Earl and Shirley had overpacked for that week-long cruise, and they were experienced cruisers, but they just overpacked. There were too many things which were getting in the way there. Is that a description of somehow of what our lives are sometimes like as missionaries of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world? Do we sometimes overpack our lives with all sorts of other extraneous things which really, when you think about it, aren't all that important? But those things begin to crowd out our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in the world around us? Do we pack too much stuff into our daily lives? And as a result of that, witnessing for Christ gets excluded. You know, there was an interesting story in Reader's Digest a number of years back by a woman called Elise Miller Davis. And it was entitled, "When Someone is Drowning, It's No Time to Try to Teach Them How to Swim." Because Miss Davis relates that as she was sitting by a swimming pool one day, she all of a sudden heard this commotion down at the deep end of the pool, and there was a head which was bobbing in and out of the deepest end of that pool. And there was a man who rushed to the edge of the side of the pool there at the deep end, and she heard him yell to that man, "Hold your breath, hold your breath!" And then there was a young lady who pitched in from the other side, and she screamed at him, "Turn on your back and float!" And finally, the commotion caught the ears of the lifeguard, who quickly jumped into the water and rescued that man who was on the verge of drowning. And after the lifeguard was all done, he happened to be talking to Miss Davis, and he said, "What in the world is the matter with people?" He said, "Why couldn't people just holler out, 'Help!'" And he said, "I would have immediately known that I had to come running." When someone is drowning, it's no time to try to teach him how to swim. You and I in our Christian witness can sometimes get so involved when we are talking to people and we hear people say something which we recognize, no, that's contrary to Scripture. And then we start trying to correct them and teach them what the true application of Scripture is for that point. But we never get down to the basic message of law and gospel. Jesus said, keep your priorities straight. Keep that gospel message first and foremost in your mind as you talk to people. Don't try to correct all the errors which they might have on other points of doctrine. But get that simple message of sin and grace out to these people. Because there are people in our communities today, dear friends, who are barely staying afloat. Their heads are bobbing up and down in the water. There are families that are disintegrating. There are young people who are becoming chemically addicted. There are middle-aged people who are facing life crises that would absolutely blow your minds if you talked to them. And just because the strategy of going two by two, door by door, is somewhat outmoded in our society today, that does not mean that the needs of people have disappeared. You and I need to be praying for the harvest and for more workers in the harvest field. You and I need to be workers in the harvest field, going outside the doors of this church with a sense of mission to labor in those harvest fields, to live and speak the message of Jesus Christ in a way that truly honors him as our Lord and Savior, and to show lost people the peace and the joy which we have and which they too can have because we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. You see, Jesus has given us a job to do, and someone's eternity may indeed be hanging in the balance. So let's get to work. The harvest is plentiful. Amen.